We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. Thank you so far to our guests, Todd Lebo, Anna Anderson, Mike Boddicker. Coming up later, we will chat with Adam Kaplan and Christian Okoye. Also, Matt Derrick will be with us.
Don't forget Gary Lezak.
Gary Lezak, yes.
The most distinguished of all guests.
Right. That's exactly right. How could we ever forget him?
Well, he won't let us, so.
No. You sure as hell aren't going to forget his birthday. If you follow him on social media, he will let you know, as he did at midnight. So, where are you going to be for the draft?
I think I'm parking it at home. I might go over to my buddy JD's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I have not.
He's having a few dudes over to watch.
Yeah, it's just, you know, these champions pick last, so it's just, yeah, there's a lot. But this is going to be, it's...
The top of the draft's going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah, because, well, I mean, I'm really, all of it, I'm intrigued just because of the quarterbacks and the amount of quarterbacks that are going to go, and considering that two of the teams in the Chiefs division, I don't want to say like, but you know what? They both should draft quarterbacks.
Right. They're both favored, too. I think most people have them taking quarterbacks.
You know? And I mean, like, the most common quarterbacks I've seen going to the Raiders and the Broncos, Michael Penix to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I like Penix a lot. And then Bo Nix to the Broncos, and that wouldn't bother me at all.
That'd be great.
And who knows? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe Bo Nix ends up being the guy. But if you told me right now, if Bo Nix goes to the Broncos, I'm like, all right, great. Not a problem. Michael Penix to the Raiders. They screw things up so much that if there is an organization that can find a way to screw up a quarterback, I'm sure they'll figure out a way. But I like Penix a lot. And so, and I echo what our man Jeff Kerr said yesterday. And it's common sense, right? Drafting a quarterback and predicting a quarterback's success is so much more than just the quarterback. It's the situation that they're drafted into. And like, what did he say when we asked him what quarterback is going to be most successful? He basically said whoever the Vikings draft, because of what they're going to be drafted into. With that head coach, and whenever they do take over, like, say, for example, if they draft J.J. McCarthy, if they draft someone that has to sit for a while behind Sam Darnold, then all of a sudden you've got, I mean, an unbelievable group of receivers to throw to. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson, one of the best receiving tight ends. And that's pretty damn good right there. And a coach you think that's going to put you in the best situation as far as, you know, being an offensive coach and being able to surround you with talent with the Vikings. And so that's going to be very interesting to see if they what quarterback they end up with. And I'm with you. There's concerns about Caleb Williams and what he is off the field or his ability to lead a team. But he's still wildly talented, and people love him. And the Bears, I think that's a more stable organization now than what drafted Trubisky or Justin Fields. But we'll see. I am super excited to watch all that and how it plays out. And again, the whole time, too, is you're keeping tabs for the Chiefs on wide receivers and offensive tackles and how they come off the board and when those runs start. And if anyone drops, if anyone starts to fall, if there's a guy like who, like of the left tackles, of the offensive tackles, what guy are you watching that you hope drops? And don't say Ault. If someone, one more person says Ault on the screen.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. And realistically, the kid from Penn State probably will be gone. I'm not going to try. Fashanu.
We'd like, a lot of people would like you to pronounce the name.
I think it's Fashanu. No, isn't it? I think some guys that could drop would be the Guyton kid from Oklahoma. I think that would be an intriguing spot if he fell that far. I don't think there's any way. Like, I think J.C. Latham would probably be the third tackle from Alabama. I don't.
How high you want to move up? How high would you move up? What's realistic?
I mean, I think there's going to be like five tackles drafted before the Chiefs even get a chance. Maybe even six. The Mims kid from Georgia. I mean, they have him going in a lot of mock drafts. Have him going early in the 20s. Fuaga, I think the kid from Oregon State. I think they have him going around the same time Mims is. Fatanu, the kid from Washington. Is that how you say his name? Fatanu.
We're going to go with your pronunciations.
Fatanu.
For the entire draft.
And then, like, I think Guyton would be in that area. I think he, after all those, you know, those guys that I just named, I think he would be the guy that could drop to the Chiefs. But there's a bunch of tackles that, I mean.
Well, here's some tasty nuggets here that you might like, compiled from Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN Plus.
And Graham Barton, the kid from Duke, is also probably going to go in the late teens.
They say, Fowler says that he's spoken to a number of people that believe the Chargers are eager to trade back at number five. The Cardinals may trade back from number four, but Jeremy Fowler said that he's talked to a number of people, including one NFL executive, that said the Chargers have made that clear. They want to move back. They probably want an offensive tackle, and they feel like they can move back from number five, add some draft picks, and still get a tackle that they want. And so who wants to move up to number four, or who wants to move up to number five? Probably you would think to land a quarterback. So, but I mean
the top three are probably, I mean, that's everybody's projecting, you know, obviously Caleb Williams to the Bears.
But if you're Arizona, would you just draft Marvin Harrison?
Yes.
And not screw around?
Yes.
Like, I get it. Like, if you're thinking, well, we could add some picks if there's a guy that you don't love, but like, how could you not love Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Right. I mean, where is it? 11? Is that 11 or 12? Is that where the Vikings are slated to pick right now? I mean, I guess what I don't think you're going to get the quality. They're at 11.
Fowler says the Vikings have actively worked the phones of teams in the top 10, according to multiple sources. New England is among the teams they've called. One AFC exec says, I think they pull it off. They've probably been the most active team as far as potentially moving up.
But who are they trying to jump?
Teams are split on whether Minnesota's target would be McCarthy or May or someone else. Fowler says it's a slight lean to May based on an informal poll he's had with talking to execs around the league. The Vikings are in a precarious spot. Remember, they have two first-rounders, 11 and 23, but they have zero day-two picks. They're counting on additional third-round picks in the 2025 draft due to the compensatory pick formula. So perhaps that gives them more flexibility on Thursday night. But most execs believe that Minnesota does not want to part with both of their first-round picks in a trade, which makes it more difficult to move up. Well, that's so big deal if they don't want to do that. You have to do it. If you move up to number, say they want to move up to number four. If I'm Arizona, I'm like, well, now you got to give me the two first-round picks. I get you don't want to, but you have to.
Yeah, that they're not moving out without getting both of those.
So what are they? Of course, they don't want to.
Especially since they don't have a day two.
Right.
Like, there's no chance. I mean, no one's going to take a pick next year to let you move.
Sources say Minnesota doesn't want to give up both first-round picks.
Yeah, well.
Well, sources say that they can't move up.
They're not going to.
Sources say they can't move up in the top five then.
But so if say they want McCarthy, right? Who's going to take that quarterback before? I mean, what teams do you think would be that they'd have to jump? Like, why are they so necessary to get that fourth pick? Like, the Giant? Like, who do you think?
Other teams might be moving. Oh, okay, here we go. Let me tell you this.
All right.
So Graziano reports, said the Raiders would love to be able to get high enough to take Daniels and reunite him with Antonio Pierce, who was on the Arizona State coaching staff when Daniels began his college career there. But they know they may not be able to do that, especially if Washington has already decided on him at number two.
Yeah, I think he's going to.
Now, the Raiders, but here you go. The Raiders have talked with the Cardinals about what it would take to get to number four. And so there, maybe the Raiders, if they can't get Daniels, they move up to number four, and who are they going after? Right? And so it may not be for Minnesota who you're trying to get ahead of. You're just who are you competing with to get to number four? You know what I mean? The Raiders' interest in the number four pick, Graziano says, would cool off significantly if Daniels is among the top three picks as expected. But the Raiders are also thought to be high on Penix. And if the quarterback market starts drying up quickly and they feel they need to trade up in order to avoid being shut out, the Chargers at number five and the Titans at number seven are two teams that people believe are willing to trade down. Fowler says he's also heard Daniels has interest in playing for Pierce and the Raiders. That interest is mutual. But Vegas moving up to number two is not very plausible right now. He says Penix, Nix, and even Spencer Rattler are in play for the Raiders down the board. Also, Jeremy Fowler says multiple people have told him that they believe the Falcons like Penix a lot and maybe enough to take him at number eight overall, even though they just brought in Kirk Cousins. That'd be a lot in the quarterback room.
Be smart.
Well, yeah.
That'd be really smart for them.
Right. Absolutely. And so you've got all those situations there with teams trying to move up to grab a quarterback. And also they mentioned Brock Bowers and his landing spot. That's up in the air. One NFC exec says, he's my highest graded player in the field. He's the easiest evaluation. And they think the Jets at number 10 are a wild card there on Bowers. A separate AFC exec said Bowers is one of the best players in the entire draft. He should go in the top 10. Now we have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com as we're going through all these rumors put together by Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler about trades that could happen involving teams trying to nab their quarterback in the top 10. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I am doing pretty well, Stephen, for a guy who's been in traffic for an hour or so.
what's the hot spots? Tell people out there so they can avoid it.
435 and I-70 over on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
Rough.
But
very
you made
rough.
It. That's
both,
all that matters.
Both directions. So,
I'm sure you heard some of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I love the Vikings thinking that they wouldn't have to give up both of their first round
right.
picks, not wanting to. Well,
they just
don't
want to. Good.
I didn't want to be in traffic
right.
this morning, Chargers.
Right.
Or Vikings. You're going to have to give up both those picks.
The Chiefs don't want to give up any picks to move up in the first round. Great. Thank you, Source. So do you think there will be a team? Do you think either the Cardinals or the Chargers, Cardinals at four and the Chargers at five, do you think either one of those teams will trade out of that pick?
I think one for sure. I mean, it'll depend a little bit to me on what New England does at three. If the Patriots take Drake May, and then you got three quarterbacks that are gone, and then McCarthy's going to be the next quarterback. So, I mean, Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback. you got to think that the Giants are a wild card. They might be. So somebody's going to want to get the 4 or the 5 to get McCarthy.
Here's an interesting thing. The odds for McCarthy going to the Chargers have been going skyrocketing. They're like 6-1 right now because of the Harbaugh situation.
There's that too. But you know,
I mean, that'd be crazy if they did that.
It would be crazy. And that's why,
like,
I mean,
why just create a controversy? Like with you have one of the best young quarterbacks. Well, I don't know if he's that young anymore, but you have a top 10, top 7 quarterback in the league. And you're going to, you know, but it is.
I mean, you have to trade him.
It
is
interesting.
Yeah. You'd have, I mean, if you end up taking McCarthy, if you're the Chargers, you have to trade him.
It'd be like the Drew Brees, Philip Rivers situation all over again.
Exactly. But and my guy, Nick Jacobs, over on the 41 is the Mike podcast, we've been talking about this. And, you know, that the scary thing for me in the AFC West would be if the Chargers are able to make that trade. Whether it's especially with the Vikings, because they were able to get those two first-round picks, and now the Chargers can do one of two things. Either they can get the two tackles, offensive tackles, that Harbaugh needs to run his offensive system and just have, you know, bookend road graders for the next 10 years, or he can get a cornerstone left tackle and a cornerstone defensive lineman and start rebuilding that team from the inside out. I mean, either way, if he's able to get his hands on both those picks, you know, Harbaugh and the Chargers can really remake that team in a hurry. But then again, I mean, the Broncos are apparently the other big player in trying to get up there because they want McCarthy too, apparently. So, the Cardinals are going to be in a great spot.
Okay, so
they want to jettison out of there.
Language is everything here. Words mean something. I'm not... Oh, I don't want to be one of these arrogant people.
But, do it.
But I don't care who the Raiders or Broncos draft, really. None of it scares me. None of it. Because when I say who scares you, because my question was, you know, who would scare you? None of it. Because none of them are Mahomes. None of these coaches are Andy Reid.
Correct.
Nobody. No. None of these GMs are Brett Veach.
Facts.
He needs to get his flowers. The Chiefs run the AFC West, and we're not talking about the conference Super Bowls. I'm talking about the division. None of these teams are going to surpass the Chiefs in the division anytime soon. Could they win a game against them here and there? Sure. They're not going to lose the division in the next couple of years to any of these teams. All right, you're not going to beat Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, etc. with a rookie quarterback in his first year. It's just not happening, okay? But thinking more long-term, right? Harbaugh and Herbert, that's a hell of a pairing.
Yeah.
But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is better.
Correct.
And they're ahead of him on the schedule, and their supporting cast, there's too much work for Harbaugh to do to talk about them yet. So thinking of it that way, what quarterback do you think would be someone that leads to, like, okay, that would make you sit up and take notice if they land with the Broncos or the Raiders? Like for me and Jake, Bo Nix, not a problem. I'm not a Bo Nix believer. Michael Penix Jr., I think, if he stays healthy, that he could be. So I like Penix. I'm not a big Drake May guy. I love Daniels. I think he could be.
I'm with you there.
And I hate it because I feel like it's a lazy comparison, but he could be dynamic like Lamar, but I think a better passer. Not as great of a runner, but a better passer. You know what I mean? Spencer Williams thing, I'm all over the place on that because I listen to smart people talk about how, you know what, hey, he's got everything you want on the field, but there's still some questions about him and everything else. So who would it be? Who would you not like to see end up with the Raiders and the Broncos?
I mean, to a degree, my philosophy take on it is, honestly, it doesn't matter which quarterback ends up with the Raiders because I don't think that they've got the system in place to make anybody work.
And so, let's be honest,
it's the opposite of the Vikings.
Right, but you think about also, you could see Sean Payton getting his hands on a quarterback
That's
and coaching him up. I know Antonio Pierce did some nice things as an interim coach.
Yes.
And he looks like he's a fine coach. But I don't feel, when Antonio Pierce gets his hands on this quarterback, I don't fear that.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, I'm not really concerned. The Raiders saying the Broncos, at least they have a coach in place you think they could get the most out of and develop a young quarterback, we think.
Hey, Sean Payton's a good coach, but just like any good coach, he has to have a halfway decent quarterback to win. I mean, Andy Reid's a great coach, and he needed a halfway decent quarterback to win in Philadelphia.
I mean, you always say Sean Payton ain't done nothing without Drew Brees.
Well, you can. I mean, it's to say kind of the Belichick-Brady thing. I mean, there's a little bit of that going on.
Russell Wilson did look better compared to when he was with Nathaniel Hackett. I mean,
sure,
he had
better, but you know, not anywhere good enough.
No, obviously that's why they got rid of him. But there was a horrible year with Nate Hackett.
We have to establish
year.
What are we talking about? Did he look good enough to make them into a playoff team? Maybe. We're talking about good enough to pass up the Chiefs,
right? Yeah. Right. Sure.
And in that case, I mean.
Or even compete with the Chiefs, not in a game, in a season.
And in that case, I'm not terribly worried about any of these guys. Because,
I like the way you talk.
I mean, J.J. McCarthy, I mean, I think there's a lot to like there. And I make this comparison partly because of the Harbaugh connection. But Alex Smith really started to kind of find himself under Jim Harbaugh. And to me, the ceiling for J.J. McCarthy is Alex Smith. And Alex Smith is a fine quarterback. But he's not Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't Patrick Mahomes. Couldn't do the things that Patrick Mahomes did as far as winning games and winning championships. So, to me, I mean, if the Broncos end up with Sean Payton and their version of Alex Smith, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's going to be great. They'll make the wild card a few times. Maybe they'll sneak in and challenge you for the division. But, I mean, as long as Mahomes is healthy, the AFC West will still be the Chiefs. And I'm just not sure that there's any quarterback in this class that's going to change that with either of those. I mean, once again, I mean, I go back to the system is just not in place in the Raiders. I think Antonio Pierce is a great coach, a great up-and-coming coach, and probably for players 2 through 53 on the roster, might be a great coach. But there's no track record for being able to develop a quarterback. They don't have, you know, what you would say is a great system in place as far as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach and a veteran in place to teach him the ropes that you would say, okay, this is a great system to drop a rookie in. So, no, I you could drop anybody, I think, in the Vegas and they would implode.
Yeah, and that's the only, like when they say the Raiders would love to get their hands on Jaden Daniels. Well, sure they would, but he's probably not going to be there after two. Now, if they somehow found a way to get him, I think he has. And again, I'm not sold that he's going to be a star at the NFL level, but he does have the freakish. And again, I just might be, you know, biased from what I saw him do to Missouri, which Missouri turned out to be a pretty good defense.
Yes,
and that man looked like one of the greatest college football players of his era.
Heck of a game
in that game, right? I mean,
comes back from an injury. I mean, toughness. I mean,
doing it all.
That kid won me over that day.
Right, and I remember. After that game, but I kind of said it jokingly. I said, "Good God, Missouri just won him the Heisman," and I didn't. But little did we know he actually was going to be the Heisman. He actually was the best quarterback in the league.
That was
and
a
that
Heisman
made me feel better
that
as
was
he went on.
Single-handedly right. Won that game,
but he kept doing stuff. But he's so dynamic. Where I could that would make me at least like, oh boy. But then again, the Raiders are so dumb, they could screw up
even the
most dynamic quarterback.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, if you told me somehow Jaden Daniels was going to end up in Denver, I'd say, oh, boy. Here we go. Now, let's talk about that. And I'm with you, too. Like, the Vikings, they have that system in place. They have the right coach that's going to mentor a quarterback. And they have Jaden Daniels and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson. So you see, whenever a young quarterback takes over for Minnesota, they're in a great situation to succeed.
I mean, and I don't want. I mean, this is a real shot at Cliff Kingsbury, but I don't care.
Take your shots at him.
But I mean, and I don't want to sound sacrilegious towards Patrick Mahomes here, but I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's kind of exemplifies this. I mean, he was a 500 coach with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Yeah. I mean. If you drop Patrick Mahomes into the Raiders, I don't even think he could. He couldn't even make them a 500 team.
Right. Who was our Texas Tech guy that took Cliff Kingsbury to task at the Big 12 media days?
Is it Art Galugage?
Oh, Art
Galugage.
Art Galugage. Do you remember that clip we had?
Yes.
This guy, he was pissed. He had it with Cliff Kingsbury and his refusal to recruit and coach up defense. And you're right. Like, yeah, the greatest quarterback of his era, and you could not win consistently.
Could not win games with him.
Right.
That, all he does, he throws a first for 700 yards in a game.
Part of that's got to go on the coach, right?
At some Absolutely. Point. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was a, hey, were they a terrible team because they couldn't play defense? I mean, yeah. But then again, I mean, at the same time, Mahomes was not the, you know, more disciplined gunslinger that he is now. I mean, he turned over the football at times. He made mistakes. There were some things that he didn't get done. But now you see with quality coaching what happens. And that brings me back even to, once again, you know, with these quarterbacks, who's going to be successful? It comes back to the support system, to me, and who is best equipped to make sure that these players succeed in what they're doing. And I don't know if any of them have that. I mean, is Washington, you know, starting to get things right? Maybe now that they've got a different ownership and they've got a lot of new pieces in place? Maybe, but I still feel like you drop any quarterback into a dysfunctional club and an organization, and you're just going to still get dysfunction out of it.
Art DeLugage with Atlanta News. Follow-up to Mr. Bowles' question, Coach. You're a fine coach. It's a great conference, great school, all-world offense. I figure there may be 5,000 seniors who start on defense in Texas a year. You recruit from other states. Why can't you get 10, 15, or 20 who can hold your opponents to 30 points or less a game?
That's a great question. I wish I had the answer.
Art DeLugage, basically, let me sum this up. Why do you suck? That's a great question. I like how he turned into Matthew McConaughey with that. That's a great question.
You could have built a defense that consists of Gary Pinkel Texas players.
Wow.
That was better than anything Texas Tech ever had under Cliff Kingsbury.
Wow. Matt Derrick, guns a-blazing in Texas
fired.
Tech right now. I will see if you guys like this. I know Jake gets a kick out of this. Okay. Felix and Udike Uzama. I just retweeted a couple of videos from this morning. Tamba Ali at 6 a.m., with Felix and Udike Uzama, apparently at a jiu-jitsu class, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, working on hand placement and hand fighting and doing some other things. Stay working, stay studying your craft, never become complacent. All right. If we talk about how much we like seeing receivers down there working with Patrick Mahomes, I like the fact that Felix and Udike Uzama at 6 a.m. in the morning is working with Tamba Ali to become a better defensive lineman.
That will absolutely make you a better
defensive
lineman.
I like that.
Lineman. Yeah. Oh, I mean, there is nothing
and thank you, Tamba,
to
by the way.
Like about Felix. Felix is going to, I think, going to have a breakout season.
Look at that, Jake. Look at this.
Yeah. And Tamba is crazy, but he knows how to get after the quarterback.
He's got great handwork.
Yes,
that's what
I'm
talking about.
It worked for him.
Do you like that?
I love it. I love it.
Worked with Karloftis, too. So
that's right. Karlofagus. We'll take a break. We've got Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com in studio back after this on WHB.
This is Art DeLugage. You're listening to the best morning show in Kansas City, the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810.
Hey, how do I follow that? You're a jerk. Stephen St. John here for Heartland Men's Health. And look, if you right now, fellas, if you're listening to this show and you feel sluggish and tired, hey, don't blame us. We're trying to get you awake. But maybe you haven't been sleeping well. Maybe your workouts aren't going great. And maybe even your sex drive is off. If you are dealing with any of those symptoms, perhaps you have low testosterone. And if you think you have low T, here's what you do. Go to HeartlandMensHealth.com and take the low T quiz on the website. A simple 10-question quiz with yes and no answers. Only takes a couple of minutes. Then you can schedule a consult with Heartland Men's Health. They'll do your lab work and have your results within 30 minutes. A licensed medical provider will review results with you and discuss your options, and you'll make the decision together with their medical team. Cost of the appointment is only $99, which includes medical consult, T, and PSA test. If you sign up for testosterone treatment, the day of your appointment, your visit is free, and there's no need to wait because they have three locations to serve you: Overland Park, Independence, and their new office in North Kansas City. Call them today, 844-447-6600, 844-447-6600, or visit HeartlandMensHealth.com. I mean, I'm in here boring Matt Derrick with the problems with my schedule. Trying to, I was waiting for to announce the start times for the district championships for Julius track meet. So it's all going to work out now because the same day we're doing that little thing for Phil's birthday Saturday. And make sure what an afternoon starts at 9 a.m. Let's go. You know what? I'm like Bane. He was born in the darkness. I'm like with the early mornings. People fear that, you know. Not me. Get me in the early mornings. I was born in it, molded by it. Matt Derrick. So tell me about this mock draft you're taking part in right now across the nation. What's happening here?
Yeah, it's a radio station that has reporters in every NFL city that's making their picks. I'm making a pick for the Chiefs so far. They're through 30. 49ers and the Chiefs are left on the clock. And
who's still available for you?
So he said worst case scenario right now. So like, what's worst case scenario? What's happening?
I mean, I say worst case scenario for me. I mean, if I'm the Chiefs. At 32, the two players who are left to me that would make the most sense, if you want to go tackle or receiver, it's either Ladd McConkey or Kingsley Suamadia. I mean, those are really your only two choices. After that,
Jake just got mad.
Honestly, I mean, my third pick after that would be Darius Robinson. I mean, that's...
Oh, he's available?
He's available.
Detroit passed on him?
He's available, so...
Tampa passed on him. Hmm. I think he might end up in Tampa at 26.
Amarius Mims went at 30.
Yeah, wow.
What do you think the Chiefs think of him? If he fell that far, don't you think the Chiefs might? I don't know what they think of him, but I would.
Fuaga fell to 27, which I think is pretty low for him.
Give me the names of the offensive linemen that if they fall past 20. Okay, first of all, let's go in order here so I'm not all over the place. How high do you think the Chiefs are willing to move up for the right guy, whether it's a receiver or more likely an offensive lineman?
I think high.
How high?
I think high. I mean,
give me a number.
I mean, looking at the draft charts,
like as high as Jake during the 2014 ALCS. Yeah. That's super high.
I mean, I think pretty high. I mean,
15.
I think they'd be willing to go higher. I don't know if they're going to go top 10.
Stop doing this to me.
But
don't say that.
I mean, you look at the draft charts, like the Rich Hill draft chart, and, you know, and it takes a buyer. I mean, it takes a buyer or seller, so clearly you need somebody to be cooperative with you. But Chiefs 32, first next year, that third from Tennessee. Heck, I might even include this year's third instead of next year's third.
Who's worth that?
I'd go, Joe Alt is worth it.
Well, yes, but he's going to be going by, like, 7, right? He's not getting past Tennessee.
That's
at
why,
seven.
You know, 6. And I'd throw in a sweetener. I mean, I'd go 1-1-3-5 at least.
Look at Jake's face right now.
No. No.
Jake is so soured by this.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I think it'd take more than that, by the way.
It might. But okay. Math-wise, when you look at the charts, I mean, that would actually be a lopsided deal
for
the Giants.
Don't apply to the defending two-time.
There's probably that. Although the Giants at 6 will be easier to work with than an AFC team.
Okay, so then who? Well, that's true. Okay, let's remove all from the situation.
Then I think, I mean, and we don't have any evidence the Chiefs are necessarily in this ballpark, but if you're talking about going to the top 15, I think any of the next three tackles, which, I mean, Fuaga would be one of those.
How do you rank them?
I have I have Alt at the top in one category.
Right, that's different.
And then the next three are, I say the three guys whose names you can't pronounce.
It's, right.
It's Fuaga, Fashano, and Fatano.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a law firm.
Exactly. I mean, and some of those might have actually been right. I don't know. Fashanu's probably the guy. If he's available in the top 15, that's one I would consider.
Okay.
And any of the top three receivers, which I don't think that they're going to fall below 10, but Brock Bowers is a question mark. I mean, the rule is you don't trade up for a tight end, but he might be an exception.
Okay, so let's be more conservative here. Let's say what offensive lineman that would fall into the mid-20s?
I mean, if you look at this, I mean, and the pick that I would circle would be 25 with the Green Bay.
Like if Mims falls, do they like him enough to move up a couple spots for him?
I think so. I mean, I mean, I would if I were there.
Who else falls into that category?
I mean, Guyton, I think, is in that category.
Okay.
From Oklahoma. Yeah.
So Guyton and Mims, if they start, if they're there like 25, 26, maybe we should sit up in our seat and turn the TV up. Okay, here we go.
I think so. I mean, and if the Chiefs want a receiver, I mean, and the one that I think you'd have to circle there would be how far Brian Thomas falls. I don't know if there's any receiver that you have to move up to get at the next group, because unless it's somebody you absolutely love. I mean, if you absolutely love A.D. Mitchell, if you absolutely love McConkey, go up and get it.
Who do you think they'd love? Do you have any?
I mean, they've done a pretty good job of masking, you know, the signals and everything. But I will say this. I mean, I think there's been more signals that the Chiefs are going to take a receiver. And given how close to the vest that the Chiefs play their cards and Brett Veach plays his cards, I feel like that's always a bluff.
All right. So so you did a podcast with Nick Jacobs, and you pointed out that it's smart to look long and hard at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And you talked to Jim Nagy, right, the director of the Senior Bowl, because the Chiefs value what goes on at the Senior Bowl maybe more than some other teams. And they've shown that in the past, right?
Yep.
And so give me, you talked to Nagy, you've done your research, who are some guys that were at the Senior Bowl that we should maybe start to put two and two together on?
You know, the big one that I thought that really stood out to me with talking to Jim Nagy was Roger Rosegarten, because he thinks he's the tackle from Washington. He thinks he could be in play at 32 for the Chiefs.
So are you promising me a Rose Garden? See, I can use that moving forward. Jake doesn't get the reference, does he?
I loved it.
Do you get the reference? You never promised me a Rose Garden.
I even remember the song. Yeah.
Look it up, Jake. Find it. You got time.
That one really stands out to me, because I think he would be available at 32. I don't know if the Chiefs would take him there, but when you're talking about now maybe trading down from 32 to get some extra picks, and maybe at 64, you might have to move up from 64 to get him, but that would be intriguing to me, especially if you go receiver first and you're circling back to tackle second. There you go.
Thank you. I never promised you a rose garden. Well done. What are you shaking your head for? Matt Derrick got it right away.
I've never heard this song.
Not yet.
I have. Sorry to interrupt, Matt.
But they're not. Would they take him at 32?
I think there's a possibility.
Maybe they would.
I mean, based on the draft that I just had play out in front of me, I mean, honestly, I like him better than Kingsley. I mean, I do. So, I just have some Kingsley questions, and I get the Chiefs and, you know, the connection with BYU, but I like Rosegarten better. I think he's got more upside.
Give me your before we break, if you had a bet on a name that they take at 32, if you had to dig into your pocket and put some money on a name that'll be there that they will take, your odds on favorite is?
I'm increasingly saying it's McConkey.
What are you shaking your head for?
You just made him so satisfied.
No, I'm not satisfied.
You are.
Get
that man a cigarette.
That hasn't happened yet.
I mean, I'm not putting it like 50%. I would say I think he's like 38.
He's a stud in this offense.
He'd be really good. He would be a good piece. There's no doubt about it.
A wonderful route runner. Let's take a break. Let's think about what you said. Back after this on WHB. Hey, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back now that everything he was doing is now legal, so great. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. We were having this conversation, and this is where I'm at with this, and I get it. You have to think about the long-term health of the team, of the roster, future years and everything else, but damn it, what are you in this business for? To win championships. And then past winning championships to build a legacy. And right now the Chiefs are even past that. They're trying to achieve elite greatness. And they have a chance to do something that no other team has done in the Super Bowl era, and that's win three championships in a row. So people that thumb their nose at that, are just it's ridiculous to me. For the opportunity to do this, and look, Travis Kelce, as at the point of his career, he's not retiring this year, I don't think, but the chance of him having another crack at winning three in a row, that's not likely. Let's just be honest. The odds tell us the chance for the Chiefs to have another chance to win three in a row, it's not likely. They have a chance to do something no other team has done. And they could, with a straight face, say, this is the greatest stretch, the greatest 5 years, the greatest 3 years of any NFL team in history. We are the greatest. And so to say that there's not some extra motivation there for them to do this, it's just wrong. It's just people just wanting to be contrarians. And so we talked about this. Most people feel like this draft isn't very deep and isn't very good after the fourth round. Okay, it's top heavy. And they have an extra third-round pick next year. They got a couple of fifth-round picks this year. I'm with you. Use that as ammunition. Go up and get the guys that you want to help win this championship. And damn it, go out there and three-peat. A lot of it depends on health, some luck, and everything else. But they have an opportunity to do something no other team has ever done. So do you believe they are going to be aggressive with these extra picks that they have and try to move up, whether it's first round, second round, or what have you?
I think they have to. And honestly, I mean, when I asked Brett Veach about trading into the top 10 or top 15, and, you know, he's acknowledged for a non-quarterback, and he's acknowledged that they discussed it before and tried to pull it off but just couldn't make the deal. I mean, he looked like he was eager to try and do it. So I think, and you made the exact point there, and that's why I'll die on the hill of, you know, going to go get Joe Alt, because that is a guy that not only would help you try and three-peat this year, he would be better than anybody else you're going to plug in at left tackle in 2024. He's better than Donovan Smith right now, especially after Andy Heck coaches him up a little bit. He's better than Wanya Morris, bless his heart, but Joe Alt's better. And then not only that, but you've got a guy who's going to probably protect Patrick Mahomes the rest of his career. I mean, you've already signed your coach through age 34 season for Mahomes. Get him a left tackle that's going to protect him the rest of his life. So that's why I would move up. But you're right. I mean, if that doesn't come through and there's a receiver or a tackle that you want, don't sit the 32 and wait for him. Go get him. If it's in the top 15, go get him. 20, 25, don't sit there and wait for it. And second round, too. I mean, there's no reason. A fifth round pick is not going to help you win games necessarily this season. Chiefs special teams are deep. Their depth is deep at a lot of places. But they need a left tackle and they need a wide receiver. Move up to get the best you can.
What do you have to promote coming up? Do you have any conversations with anyone or anything we can look forward to?
Yeah, it came out this morning. Our Nick and myself, our 41 is the Mic conversation with Joe Alt. You can find that on the 41 is the Mic podcast and over at the Chiefs Digest YouTube page. And Joe, I mean, he's impressive. As much as I was impressed with him on film, the interview was great. And he talks a lot about his dad and the connection to Kansas City. A lot of fun.
Final prediction, Chiefs draft 2.
I'm sticking with it. I mean, I think the plurality is Ladd McConkey.
Jake won't even make eye contact with me. That's all right. Matt Derrick's got my back.
I've got your back, and I also like dramatic reading through your Taylor Swift lyrics. Well, see, so.
Yeah, you want to stay on the back.
Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. Take care.
That is a Matt Derrick talking Chiefs. We'll be back after this on WHB.